This morning it is, what date's today? 26th. So next week my lessons will be lined up. It says May 3rd on my lesson, but it's the 26th. They just messed up for leap year, and it wasn't leap year this year. So anyhow, the title of the lesson is Faithful to God in Babylon. The children of Israel, they had a problem. They would not follow God. They would not follow his commandments. And it's, you know, it's like us remembering 9/11. You know, 9/11 was 9/11. But so many people don't even think of it. And there's a whole generation that doesn't know about it. And so when you talk about it, it's like, you know, they don't, it's, you know, something that happened in the past, like George Washington crossing the Delaware. So we don't think of those things because it's not relevant to us. Well, you can imagine that the nation of Israel, they are to be followers of God, but you know God had done miracles for them. But generations have come, and the new generations doesn't have an inkling as to these miracles and these judgments and these blessings that God has given to the nation. So they're kind of on their own, and they don't believe. They accept the gods of the neighbors and of the Babylons and the Babylonians. And, you know, these gods you can see. They're made of stone and wood, but you can see them. So people pray to them. And the Babylonians, they would, there was the god, what's his face? I'll come up with it. They would literally, you know, they'd heat the guy up and throw their kids into it, you know, to appease the gods. Well, God said that they were going to go into captivity for their unbelief. And Jeremiah said that they would be in there 70 years. So the first time that they come and take Babylon, the Babylonians come and put a siege on Jerusalem and conquer people, conquer the city and the nation. They take the brightest and the best, the people of the royal family, really royal families, back to Babylon. And of course, in that group is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're part of that group. So the golden text is, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. It shall stand forever. So if we go to the end of the story, because I know we won't get there, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, right? And he doesn't remember it. So he calls in all of his wise men and magicians and everyone. He wants them to tell him what the dream is and what its meaning is. And of course, They are saying, we can't do that. Even the gods, and the gods of the Babylonians did not converse with people. So only the gods would know this, and they're not talking to us, you know. So nobody knows what this is about. So the king gets mad, and he's going to kill them all. And so Daniel says, well, what's going on here? And goes to the king, gets some extra time. He and the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they go to prayer, and God reveals to Daniel the meaning of the dream, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. There's a difference between a dream, a vision, and a nightmare. No, it's not a nightmare. A vision somewhere in here. Vision and a dream. There you go. That's right. A dream, of course, is have it in your sleep. A vision is you're awake. So the king, he's had a vision. I think it's a vision. And thank you, although God, the Father, has given me wisdom. But anyhow, Daniel has received the answer to it. And the point I'm making is that also this image is destroyed by a large stone that is cut out of the heavens and crashes at the feet of this statue. This, you know, and the whole statue is destroyed, and the rock that's cut out and fills the whole earth. So what it is, what, you know, I've never heard it explained this way except in the lesson, so kudos to the people who wrote the lesson. Jesus is the rock that destroys the humanity, the kingdoms of this world, like in Revelation and in the Hallelujah Chorus. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign forever and ever. Well, it's what Daniel sees here in this vision, that in this dream, that the rock hits the feet, destroys it, and it continues to grow and inhabit the whole earth. That's what we find in the book of Revelation. That's what we find with the coming of Christ, and that he is going to fill the whole earth. So, going back to the beginning of our lesson, it's always good to know where it ends up. Then you go back to figure out how it got there. Don't you agree, Glenda? Thank you. All right, so God desires a genuine relationship with his people, and the relationship requires ongoing communication. So it's important that we understand God wants us to talk to him. You know, not complain, but talk to him. Not about how bad things are or how good we want it. It's good to talk to him about the affairs in our life, what's going on, what our needs are, what we are thankful for. It's important that this communication continue, because God wants to communicate with us, and it's a two-way street that we talk to God, God is going to speak to us, and we believe that God does speak to us. There are some Christian denominations that don't believe in the working of the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of the followers of Christ, and that the only revelation there is in the Scripture, and there's no Holy Spirit to help us understand the Scripture or to speak to us through the Word. So we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word to us and can give impressions or direction in our life, and, you know, just... So it's an ongoing relationship. Now, it isn't that, do you hear voices? No, we don't hear voices. We have impressions in the Spirit. And the Bible tells us to try the spirits. Know what is the Spirit of God, what is the spirit of evil, and what is our own desire. Now, so all of those fit into the category of us making decisions. So being able to understand what the Spirit is saying is the ultimate goal. So God speaks. He speaks so we might know, love, and serve him, and live in constant communion with him. In the beginning, God spoke openly and freely with Adam and Eve, but after they sinned, their relationship with him was broken. God then began the work necessary to restore his relationship with humanity. And in order to enact his plan of redemption, he spoke to people like Noah, Abraham, Hagar, and Rebekah. God spoke to Moses face to face. He spoke to the people of Israel from the midst of the fire. God spoke through dreams and visions. Oftentimes he spoke through the prophets of the Old Testament alone, and it is stated more than 2,000 times that God spoke. So, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we need to listen or believe that God can speak to us and that we are following his direction. So imagine 2,000 times throughout the Old Testament, God has spoken to individuals to lead them and to guide the nation. So Jesus, he is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. Therefore, in Jesus, God was speaking face to face with people once again. I like that. As God's fullest revelation, Jesus Christ is more than a teacher of truth. He is the truth. He is the way. He is life. So when we put this together in the context of the scriptures are Christ, and they are speaking to us the truth of God's word. And so if you want to know the character of Christ, read the word, study the scriptures, and you begin to get the image of Christ. We have the shroud we'll speak about it during the service this morning, but that gives us an image of perhaps what Jesus looked like. So so whenever you're putting together the image and the scriptures, he is a real person. He is a real God who came to live among us, to be with us. He died for our sins, and that he is part of our life. And with Thomas, doubting Thomas, Thomas came back to the, I get to preach my sermon twice. Thomas, he was missing when Jesus appeared the Sunday, Easter Sunday. They didn't call it Easter Sunday, but the Resurrection Sunday. Jesus appears to the disciples in a closed room, and they're all there but Thomas. And so Thomas comes later and says, they're telling him, hey, we saw Jesus. And they're saying, no, you didn't. I didn't see him. So he wasn't there. So he had a hard time believing that Jesus really came. But what happened is 8 days later, Jesus appears with Thomas in the midst. Aha. Jesus came back for the one who was missing. So, good point. That's where I was going with that whole thing. So, God also communicates through anointed preachers. Those humble enough to know that they hear from God. I'm just playing the role, pray that they hear from God. You can't make this stuff up, It's a revelation of the Holy Spirit, whether we know it or not. And so it is revealed. See, this is where the revelation is, that we look at the word and the Spirit reveals, helps us understand it. And when we're speaking it, God is revealing it to the speaker, to the hearers. And so it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. So this week's lesson, we're going to observe how God speaks through inspired dreams. And we also observe how he can give someone the divine wisdom necessary to accurately interpret the dreams. Did you know there was a book of dreams? There's the Egyptian book of dreams, in which they have in their the meaning of dreams and how to interpret them. But that's not what we have. But I was surprised to think they believe so much in dreams that they wrote a book on it. Their magicians or soothsayers wrote a book on the dreams. And I was watching, I don't know how I got on this one, but in the Japanese culture today, the numbers are everything. I mean, there people are, we look at the lottery, they have it everywhere. All these numbers of gambling and whatever, but they have dreams, and then they have numbers of sequence of numbers or numbers, random numbers in their life, that they're always playing those numbers. The whole nation is caught up in this dreams and visions and stuff. So anyhow, I was surprised to hear that. Daniel chapter 2 verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled. So what happens is, how is Daniel last week, 3 years in the in training, and then he's now in the court of Nebuchadnezzar, and now it's Nebuchadnezzar's second year. It doesn't add up. That's a mistake in the scriptures. Nope. It was 2 years since Nebuchadnezzar secured his kingdom. So even though he had been and conquered Israel and Jerusalem, and he'd conquered others, it wasn't until he was done conquering and establishing his borders that he became ruler. And so in the second year of his rule, all right, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. Difference between a dream and a nightmare? No. Difference between a dream and a vision. A vision is while you're awake. A dream is while you're sleeping. You'd think I'd thought that up all by myself, wouldn't you? So wherewith his spirit was troubled. So Nebuchadnezzar dreams this dream, and he was very troubled by it. And he had a problem. His sleep break from him. It means he woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show the king his dream. Now, I've got it marked out here. Nebuchadnezzar's reign refers to the time after he was fully established. Where is it? I'll go on. So the sorcerers, they were, oh, here we are. The magicians, the astrologers, sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. Magicians were priests who were skilled at interpreting dreams. Astrologers interpret a variety of signs in the stars, and they conjured spells to influence the future. Sorcerers were skilled in charms and incantations, and Chaldeans encompassed all the categories of the wise. Chaldeans were an ethnic group, but they were also diviners who explained mysteries and cast spells. So when Daniel, he is skilled in the language of the Chaldeans. So he is to be a person who is working with this group called the Chaldeans. And so the king calls for all these guys to come to him, but Daniel's not part of the group. All right, Daniel's not. He's a captive. He's a foreigner in the land, and he hasn't worked his way up in the political scheme of things. So what happens here is, see how God gives the king a dream, but only Daniel can interpret it. So that brings him up a few notches, like from the bottom to the top. and the sorcerer to show the king's dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I have dreamed a dream." I think this is where Martin Luther King got his, "I've dreamed a dream." He's not like Nebuchadnezzar, but I thought I would throw that in there. Okay. "I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." So he knows, he feels that it's an important dream. And, you know, again, they believed a lot in their dreams. And if they could just understand it, these wise individuals could interpret it, and he would have this, you know, he knew that this dream was important. So, verses 4 through 10 and I don't have my Bible out here. Do you have that up? I'll read it. 4 through 10. It's crazy. The lesson says it's 4 through 13, but they only give you 11 to 13. So I'll read 4 and 5. "Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, 'Long live the king, tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means.'" Ta-da! They are only making sense, you know? "King, tell us what you dreamed." But the king said to the astrologers, "I am serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it meant, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be turned into heaps of rubble." So the king now feels, oh, these guys have just been making stuff up. When they come to tell me what the dreams are, and I tell them the dreams, and they make up this stuff. Now let's have them tell me what the dream is, and we'll see how good they are at interpreting and telling me what's in my dream. "But if you tell me what I dreamed and what the dream means, I will give you many wonderful gifts and honors. Just tell me the dream and what it means." They said again, please, please don't tear us apart. Don't tear us limb from limb. Did you know, in the old days like that, they enjoyed killing people? I mean, you know, and the worst place to die was in Judea under the Roman, over the Roman execution. Because their studies have shown that the Romans were the brutal, they were the most brutal in those areas. And they would, you know, torturing people was a good thing. You know, I watched this thing on Genghis Khan. Yeah, that guy killed everybody. I mean, there was never a greater murderer than him. You know, if the city didn't surrender, everybody in the city died. Kids, women, men, didn't matter who they were, killed them all. But if they surrendered, then he made them slaves. And if you were too old, he killed you. And if you were young enough, well, he gave the women to his generals and to the soldiers, and there was a, they said that there's probably a third of that eastern of that part of that continent that is descendants of Genghis Khan. A third has his DNA. He just killed everybody. So anyhow, they said, please, Your Majesty, tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means. Okay, they're begging, we want to know what you have to say. The king replied, I know what you are doing. You're stalling for time, because you know I am serious when I say, if you don't tell me the dream, you are doomed. So you imagine being in the king's court. You know, if he says, you're all dead, they are all dead. So they're kind of looking for their life here. So you have conspired. Now it's a conspiracy. You'd think it was in Washington today. It's a conspiracy to tell me lies, hoping that I will change my mind. But tell me the dream, and then I'll know that you can tell me what it means. Good logic. People always have a story, but they don't know the beginning of it. This is an important verse because the astrologers replied to the king. This is very important because no one on earth can tell the king his dream. And no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. The Babylonian gods did not communicate with people. So they were completely cut off from the people were completely cut off from the gods. The gods didn't speak to them. And so whenever they're saying here that no one on earth can tell the king's dream, it's only gods can do that. I think it's in the next verse. The king's demand is impossible. No one except the gods can tell you your dream, and they do not live here. They're not living here. So it's impossible. So the king requires that there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh or not with man. So the Babylonians' view of their gods was that they didn't dwell with man. It's important. The God of Israel, right, this is where the God of Israel, our God, is unlike the Babylonian gods. He does communicate with us. Remember we said earlier that in the Old Testament 2,000 times that it says that he spoke with man. More than 2,000 times he spoke in the Old Testament to his prophets, to his followers, to his people. So the God of Abraham is a God who speaks with his people. And so God speaks to us, and he speaks in the Christians. God speaks to us through the New Testament, through the Word of God. He speaks to us through that. Not verbal, but impressions and understanding and giving us direction. However, unlike the Babylonian gods, God communicated with us. He would prove as much when he revealed to Daniel the king's dream. So the God of Israel was going to reveal to Daniel the king's dream, and he was going to bring honor and glory to the God of Israel. Then we have verses 14 to 16. When Arioch, I think that's his name, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discernment. See, we're all going to run into stuff. The bottom line is, how much wisdom are we going to have? How are we going to handle the situation? You know, are we going to be belligerent? Are we going to be, okay, this guy's come to kill you, and he has the right to kill you. He's got the orders to kill you. How do you stop him from killing you? Daniel thinks of a way. He doesn't say, in your face, I'm getting my sword and I'm coming after you. No. He has wisdom and tact. So he asked Arioch, why has the king issued such a harsh decree? You know, it's always good to know why people are going to kill you. They have a reason, okay? So asking people what is, I always do that what and how, not why and when. Why and when is an argument. What and how is an assessment. So what has happened that you have to come here and threaten me? How is it going to benefit you, okay? What's going to happen? Well, the why question here is, why has the king issued such a harsh decree? I'm sure Daniel knows why. You know, they have telegraphs back then. Telephone, telegraph, teleguard. So, I'm sorry. So Arioch told him all that had happened. So he got the guy to back off from his desire to kill him and talk about what's going on. Next verse. Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. Now, the other guys, the Chaldeans and the sorcerers and all that, they asked for the same thing, but the king, what did he do? No way, you're trying to trick me. Daniel goes in. You see, Daniel has wisdom and tact. So he goes into the king, not in hurry or not in haste and not under all this, I'm going to die, don't do this. He goes, oh, well, what, king, what's going on here? You know, let's talk about this. And so he does. So then Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened. So Daniel, what does he do? Now he goes back to his apartment, where he's staying, and he gets his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they, what do? They start to pray. He urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret. Isn't that something? He doesn't say, ask God to tell us what it is so we don't die. He says, through wisdom and the God of heaven to show them mercy. Because if he doesn't show them mercy, they're going to die. So the mercy of God, what is the mercy of God? God's mercy is divine favor. So we're asking God for divine favor, which he has towards us. We're asking him to, we're trying to attach ourselves into what God has said we are already have in his presence. And we're getting attached to God in his divine favor. And in this place of favor, we're asking for mercy or wisdom so that we can handle this situation. Not a bad prayer. When difficulties come, how can we handle the situation? We're looking for mercy. And we're looking for divine favor, especially when it's the boss and us. We want divine favor. And so, they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Uh-huh. The secret. There, the word secret in the scriptures means something that is to be revealed. Okay? It's a time in the future that we haven't arrived at. So from here to there, it's a secret, but God is revealing the path that's going to take. See, the secrets of God are only hid from those who don't ask and those who are not his children. God has a plan. We just don't know it. He wants to reveal it, but what does he want to do? He wants to communicate with us. So the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers and the magicians and soothsayers show the king?" So Daniel draws attention to, hey, you got all those guys. Can they answer this? No. The dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed at what should come to pass hereafter and shall come to pass. But as for me, is that right? Hereafter, and he hath revealed the secrets made known to thee what shall come to pass. So Daniel's telling him, you had a dream, you had it on your bed, and that this is a dream about what's going to happen in the future. Okay. Got his attention. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have. It's not me. The God of Israel is the one that we need to look to. So Daniel doesn't say, it's all me, it's all God. And then there's four important points. The dream came from God. Daniel did not possess the special power. The dream revealed what shall be in the latter part. God revealed the mystery to Daniel so he could give it to the king. And apparently the king had been pondering his future before he fell asleep. Boom. So what does he do? Daniel tells him the dream, and he says to him that, we'll just skip to the end here. The meaning of the statue will be further explained in Daniel 7, so we're going to run into this statue again. But he can be summarized, the head of gold is the Babylonian kingdom. The arms and the chest of silver are the Medo-Persian empire. The belly and thighs of bronze represent the Greek empire. The legs of iron are the Roman Empire, and during the time of the Roman Empire, Jesus appears on the scene proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven has come. He is the rock that is cut out without hands and strikes the image at its feet, destroying the whole thing, and the rock filled the whole earth. That's the depiction of the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's the head of gold. And next few chapters on, the king gets kind of caught up in himself and builds this big statue, and that's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fire. So that's coming in the future. So anyhow, that's where we are at with Daniel being faithful at the time of the Babylonians. Father, thank you for the day, your favor, your blessing and guidance. Bless your word. Let your divine mercy and favor rest upon us, that we may have wisdom and guidance in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.